John?
An initial comment, which is if you look at the attack curves, and I take the point you made, which is that they're often amplified, but that curve is diverging at 6 years still. And so Kent's wrong. There is a potential carryover effect, which is...
Well, I didn't say there wasn't. I said we don't know.
Well, you do. Well, from the curves, it looks as though it is. The point I'm making is you're standing on that side of the fence and you believe it, so you see it. But actually, there's a whole lot of other data over there that you have to think about that actually may completely disprove that hypothesis. I wouldn't select somebody for endocrine therapy based on those two markers when there's so much other data that you have to take into consideration, which says it isn't the case.
And what is the other data?
The big 198 data.
When you look at that's a lot of data, 25 months follow-up?
There's not a separation of those curves. When you looked at the ATTAC data, those curves had separated by that stage. It's a huge separation.
No, they were actually exactly the same magnitude at the initial follow-up, but actually we were not convinced. So the steering committee didn't want Mitch Dossett to present it.
Absolutely.
I personally think that there is something more than just the PR being the different. Because if it was the case, I think Big 98 with the same follow-up, with the central review of the receptor, should have confirmed that.
Absolutely.
So I totally do not buy that concept. I think it is what our thinking is. It fits our bias. We buy it. If it doesn't fit, it just throw it away.
So you don't believe any of the other PR data in tamoxifen, of which there's an enormous amount, prospective data from Peter's group, from Peter's paper?
No. What it says is that people respond better if you're doubly positive to if you're singly positive. But it doesn't say that you respond better to an aromatase inhibitor. It just simply says that you're more hormone responsive if you're doubly positive to singly positive. What the big 198 data shows is it doesn't matter which of those two drugs you use, you respond better if you're doubly positive.
Hal?
One of the paradoxes here is it seems to me we are now using molecular biology information on hormone receptors not to choose hormone therapy, but to choose chemotherapy. And it seems an irony, but it probably does underscore the reality of the situation, which is that the fundamental dichotomy is still good candidate for endocrine therapy and do you need chemo or not?
I have a little written sheet in our clinic now that has a table that has all the potential organs and the potential side effects of both. And I hand that to every patient. Here's TAM, here's AI. I'm not going to talk to you a lot about them. I'll talk to you a little bit. Go home and read this. When you come back, tell me what you want to do. And I find it's about 50-50 right now. Patients coming back, some saying, I read the internet, I want an AI. Fine, here's your AI.
Does the sheet say that there may be more or are more recurrences in the first 2 to 3 years?
What I say is there's no question that estrogen depletion using an AI is slightly more effective than tamoxifen.
Do you list the state of California carcinogenesis listing?
No, I don't use the California carcinogenesis.
This concludes the second CD. For more from our breast cancer think tank, please turn to the third CD.